A gaggle of gays gagging on gossip, love, sex advice, and your questions. Produced and recorded in New York City, this is Ask the Boys.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Boys, a roundtable show where we answer your Q's so you can play with your A's, a show where we give it to you straight-ish with no chaser. Call into our show with your questions or comments. Our show number is 424-327-5282. That's 4243-ASK-ATB.
In this episode, we talk about the first openly gay man in the U.S. Winter Olympics, a missile scare that rocked residents of Hawaii to the core. Does a girlfriend have the right to be angry at her boyfriend for masturbating? Can a significant other fix years of emotional scars? Gay cinema. We talk about our favorite movies that define our community. Finally, we give you another round of Just the Tip, all on this episode of
Ask the Boys.
All right, everyone. So I think we should start off the show with just a little PSA. Since at this point we are now a global show, we crunched the numbers this week. You guys are listening to us in, 59 different countries at this point? That's like 30%.
Yes, I believe
of the world.
So. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Hi, y'all.
That's incredible. And I want to take a moment here to just give a little disclaimer, just a little sidebar. This week, our president, Donald fucking Trump, the orange Cheeto with piece of shit. I call him the scrotus, the so-called president of the United States.
Yeah.
Called a bunch of African countries shitholes. And I just want to make it perfectly clear to everybody listening, we don't agree with that whatsoever.
Not at all.
Majority of this country is absolutely appalled, offended, and that is not how we operate. So you guys can rest easy knowing that the three of us completely denounce exactly what he said.
Amen.
Exactly.
Now, yes. The thing that we were going to talk about at the top of the show is openly gay U.S. Winter Olympics. Specifically, a figure skater who goes by, his name is Adam Rippon. And on Thursday, he said that he would not go to the White House if he was invited as a Winter Olympian because he does not think he would be, quote, welcome as a gay athlete. What do you boys think about that?
I completely respect his decision not to attend the White House.
I agree.
Because I, you know, all three of us actually are openly gay men. And with the president that we have now who is doesn't really seem to support any LGBT rights or ideas out there, I wouldn't feel safe going there either. I don't even, every time I hear the White House in the media or in public or wherever, I cringe. Like, I used to look up to the White House as like a beacon, a symbol of our country. Now it's just a place where this fucking Cheeto lives. And I wouldn't go there either, no matter what it was, if I was an Olympian or an actor or anything.
And Jordan, you know that, I mean, I'm deep into politics. I mean, fuck, I was just watching, you know, Sarah Huckabee's circus, like she releases every day for the White House press briefing before this show.
Right.
And I just like to be informed. And since Donald Trump has taken office, every single scrap of relevance of the gay community in regards to the White House has been removed. I mean, the whitehouse.gov website had, I think it was like 50 some links and pages directed at gay Americans, transgendered Americans, removed.
Wow.
I think it was either this month or last month that Donald Trump fired.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. Fired the group that researches like HIV and AIDS. Just fire them. And pathetically, didn't even fire them directly, had a courier go to their house with a letter saying you're fired.
What a real piece of shit.
The biggest, hugest piece of shit. And I mean, this isn't surprising. Remember when he was running, he was like, oh, friend of gays, I'm the gays' biggest fans. Like, all he did was, it was a dog and pony show to get the vote, and now that he's the president, he's pandering to his base.
Do you remember that when he, sorry to interrupt, but that on the stage when he had that fucking pride flag?
And it was upside down.
It said gays for Trump.
Gays for Trump. It was upside down.
I was
down.
Like, what kind of an attempt is this? And he looked so uncomfortable and unnatural. And I'm like, this is not my president.
He's a snake oil salesman.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially here in New York. I mean, my God, do you remember the day that he got elected? What it was like in this city?
The gloom that like appeared over the whole city.
Everyone was angry. I remember people were crying on the train the next morning. Like, it was it was this feeling that I've never experienced in my life. It was like going to a funeral, but it was the whole fucking city was in mourning.
But to go back to Adam here, I respect him. I really do. And I really hope that sorry guys, I'm a little sick today. I'm having a little bit of a sore throat, so bear with me if my voice goes in and out, but I know. What do you think I've been doing, girl?
Oh, his phalanges got phalangled. I don't even think I don't know what I said, but it just rhymed, so
it went in.
Yeah, but what he told BBC in the interview, I think that all of us here in the LGBT community can stand with him on this one. And I don't think that any gay would feel comfortable going there.
Yeah. And what he was quoted saying in that interview, it said, and I quote, "I don't think somebody like me would be welcome there. I know what it's like to go into a room and feel like you're not wanted there." Yeah. And I think we all can relate to that. We know what it's like, whether that's a gay community or straight community. We've all known what it's like to walk into a room and feel like you're being judged.
Has anyone looked up Adam before? I want to see what he looks like. I think he's a cutie.
Ooh, let me check.
He actually came out last year, so him being isn't really news, but him being the first out gay Winter Olympian is what he's currently championing. I mean, he's a fantastic figure skater.
Oh, he is so cute.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching some of his videos on YouTube as I was doing some research, and it's incredible. And he's just so passionate, and he speaks with such purpose.
Right.
So I recommend everyone research him. Yeah.
I just want to take a moment and say to Adam, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
This is a fucking great accomplishment. Round of applause to you. And being the first openly gay man to compete in the U.S. Winter Olympics is phenomenal. This guy is going to go down in history.
Yes, turn it out. You're going to fucking slay the fucking Olympics.
And with his statement about the White House, it's going to be rippled through time.
And also what happened this week, since we spoke to you last, Hawaii.
Right.
So in Hawaii, we were all working when that went down. And in Hawaii, the middle of the day, I think it was 1 o'clock p.m., there was a shift change at like the emergency response unit center in Hawaii. And I guess this person has to do a checklist when they do a shift change. And one of the checklists involves tapping on a drop-down menu and selecting something, but they accidentally selected the option 2 options lower, which was state of emergency. And not only did they click it once, they clicked it twice.
Sweet Jesus.
So what it did is it caused a state of emergency to broadcast the entire state of Hawaii. And that included everyone's devices going off with a similar to what happens when an Amber Alert or something goes off, blaring a siren saying that a ballistics missile is inbound to Hawaii, and people basically had 20 minutes to live. All TVs and radios all broadcasted the exact same message, and it was horrendous. Now, I have a copy of the civil warning itself, and I'm going to play it here. But I want to give kind of a warning, because I know we do have some listeners in Hawaii, and this is going to play. So I kind of want to avoid any anxiety or panic attacks or anything. So I'm just giving you, you know, a little warning, a little heads up. So you may want to jump forward maybe a minute in this podcast, but I'm going to play it now, and then you guys can hear exactly what Hawaii heard this week.
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii. A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill. If you are indoors, stay indoors. If you are outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors well away from windows. If you are driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building or lay on the floor. We will announce when the threat has ended. This is not a drill. Take immediate action measures. Repeat.
And all it did was just play over and over and over again. it was mass hysteria. I mean, they showed security footage of people running down the street. There were car accidents. They actually had videos of parents that were taking their children out of the cars and shoving them in sewers for safety. Now, of course, Hawaii emergency response personnel caught on that it was a mistake and remedied it, but they remedied it 30 minutes later. So these people, I believe the exact time was 38 minutes. So imagine panicking, thinking it's the end of your life for 38 minutes.
No.
Shit. I don't know what I would do.
I would have shit my pants right fucking there when I heard that damn drill.
So what, wasn't it, wasn't there that like guy, that guy on YouTube that like posted a video online saying that he's playing golf and he's going to go out and doing the one thing that he loves and broadcasting his message
to
everybody?
I actually saved that so
you
guys can hear it. Yes, I'm gonna, let me play it right now.
If you're watching this video, that means I didn't make it because of the missile that's coming towards Hawaii. I just parred the last hole and I just hit this shiznick out of my ball. So I love you all, but I'm playing golf. It's the last thing I'm gonna do.
I actually get really emotional when I
I
hear that because you can hear in his voice he's like, that this is it.
Yeah.
Now thank God they rebroadcasted a message 38 minutes later saying false alarm, false alarm. But this was just, this was a shit show and a half. Absolute shit show. And it shows that, you know, you don't really know when it could be your time. I mean, Hawaii only has 20 minutes. If North Korea happened to fire a ballistics missile or anything like that, 20 minutes is not a lot of time.
No.
No, it's not at all.
Since we started this podcast, it's only been about 12 minutes.
And you know, like
pre-editing.
Imagine the pure hysteria amongst these people. And what if that happened where we were or where we are right now? Like you even just previously mentioned that they were swerving off the road and throwing their kids in like storm drains. I can't even imagine what would happen to like in New York or
it would be mayhem.
The pandemonium in 38 fucking minutes it took for them to correct this error.
New York is so crowded. We wouldn't be able to do anything.
It's oh my God. This is the epicenter. We would have to like, go on the roof, you and me and Anthony, load up several blunts, take all these drugs. I would go out. I would want to go out like fucking.
Fucked up. I'll pull my pants.
Yeah.
I will go out jerking it.
Yes.
Well, you guys have been in the city when one of those like Amber Alerts or something has gone up. I've been on the train.
Yeah. And all the phones are blowing up and the beeping.
Every phone.
And everyone stops and looks at each other at the same time like, what the fuck? Because you're not used to just everything going off at the same time. I can't imagine everything in the state and my TV and my radio and the car and everything just going off. I would be hysterical.
Oh, I would be so anxious and like freaking out. It would be ridiculous.
And some people were even calling and tweeting and everything their loved ones saying, hey, this is where you can find my last will and testament. This is where you can find like all kind of different things that you'll need for my life insurance policy. Like some of these people were really just accepting the fact that it was going to be the end. And I'm so glad that this was, you know, a fuck up and not an actual event.
Yeah.
But I hope that this makes the entire country kind of put into, kind of realize the severity of what can happen and what it kind of is like if it happened, you know?
I mean, the elderly too, imagine like their hearts is crazy.
Oh, they couldn't even get, I'm sure there's going to be so many lawsuits after this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, probably. Just think about this for a second. The term history repeats itself is so spot on.
Pearl Harbor.
Our family, our parents, the Cold War, like all these things happened before.
Yep.
I'm just curious, when are we going to learn from all this?
Well, you know? And it's getting really bad. I mean,
it's getting scary, you guys. I'm a little
here
worried.
In Brooklyn, I know where some buildings are that are legitimate fallout shelters.
Right down the block, there's two of them.
Yeah, like they have, and I'm sure our audience is like kind of questioning it. They have the legitimate fallout shelter nuclear logo on the side of the building. I know when I first moved to this neighborhood, I just thought someone put it up as a prank. But these signs are still pinned to the buildings that were legitimate bomb shelters and fallout shelters for the wars.
Now, answer me this, you guys. Are you finding and pointing out these fallout shelters a little bit more frequently now than you ever have?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Because you have to be on the edge. I mean, Jordan, the night that I was meeting up for you or meeting up with you for drinks, I got off at the Port Authority station, and the Port Authority station was where that guy blew up his bomb vest during the middle of the day. I was so anxious going through there. I was sweating bullets. I wasn't even there that day, and I had trauma going through that tunnel. And of course. Yeah. Everybody, there was mad police everywhere, but still, I took the first exit I could find, didn't care if it got me out on the right side of the street or the wrong side of the street, I needed out of there. So it puts a lot of stuff into perspective. You're a lot more aware of your surroundings nowadays, for good or bad.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So let's move on to our first question. Our first question says, I am a female, 21 years old, with a 22-year-old boyfriend of 2 years. I've always noticed porn on his phone and have always been annoyed, but I've gotten over it. Always tells me how sexy and hot I am, and I haven't doubted that he's not attracted to me. The problem is that when we have sex more each week, he seems to look at porn more and more, and I just don't know how I feel about it. He says that any day we don't have sex, he masturbates. I think even the days that we do have sex, he does as well. He freaks me out when I tell him that he freaks out when I tell him that I feel kind of shitty about knowing that he does it that much. And he reassures me by saying, quote, every guy does it. Am I being the overdramatic, insecure girlfriend? Or is it okay for me to feel like a total piece of shit for knowing he looks at this many naked girls a week? It's driving me crazy.
I'm going to make mine, short and sweet. That's how I usually do it. I think to this... young lady, she is being a little overdramatic and insecure as a girlfriend. We have to take a look at, men are men. He's 22 years old. He is biologically prone to, reproduce. That's what men are for. I mean, if you think in the nitty gritty, that's what we do. We're here to plant the seed. And yeah, I think it's perfectly healthy. You should be really happy that your boyfriend has a good sex drive. And just because he's masturbating, I think it's a healthy thing. Now, I do understand her concern when it comes to other women. Maybe she feels self-conscious about how she looks, and she doesn't possess what he wants in a woman, whatnot. So yeah, you do have some concern there, I think. So you're not totally crazy, but I think that maybe just take a minute and... figure out what he's looking into, masturbating to, and maybe try that. I don't know if it's girl-on-girl action or if he's seeking out some fantasies that you're not giving him, per se.
I mean, let's be honest. Porn is all about fantasy.
Exactly. Yep. It's the unobtainable, exactly. It's the thing that's safe that you think you can achieve mentally.
I mean, who fucks their plumber?
I would, but sexy.
Not many. I mean, I've seen some plots that it was like, is this real fucking life? Like a butcher shop closing up one night, they're wiping down the counters, and then they just start fucking on the counter. I've never in my life encountered or heard of such things. But as far as to answer her question, I think it's healthy to be a little skeptical because, of course, she's fending for herself, and she wants to make sure that, that she's providing and that she – I can understand she may not feel as wanted. Porn stars have this certain image and sex appeal because it's their job to be sexy. Maybe this is making her feel like she's not sexy. But at the same time, too, some guys have a much higher sex drive and a lot more testosterone than other men.
Exactly.
Especially when you're having sex a lot. I know when I'm in a relationship and I have sex a lot, I have a high drive, especially if I go to the gym.
You want it.
Exactly. Yeah. If I am no longer in a relationship and I don't get sex, then my drive can actually go into hibernation and I don't have a very high sex drive. So if you guys are dishing it out several times a week, that's why he's pounding it out several times a week. Mm-hmm. Another thing that she needs to realize too is, male masturbation is actually serves a health purpose as well. Studies have shown that regularly masturbating actually reduces your chance of illness. And I believe I've also read that it also helps your prostate stay healthy, because it's constantly, you know, it's working your prostate. So
work it.
There are health benefits to it, you know, and just it's porn. I've never really been in a situation where I felt personally
victimized by Regina Jones.
I was going to say victimized, but I didn't want to say victimized. But I've never been in that situation where I felt like I wasn't adequate because of porn.
I agree with both you guys, both your point of views. I think that there are many ways that you can interpret this behavior. Here's my thing for her. It's definitely going to be like, if you really want to get to the bottom of this, sit down, you know, but like as a man, and just like Justin and Jordan just did, I can definitely vouch for the ridiculous libido that we have, and definitely vouch for the fact that sometimes we look into fantasies. Sometimes there's things that we don't think our partner's going to do. So we're not going to ask you to do anything crazy. We're just going to watch it and rub one out. Or you could just be super horny. My concern is with the behavior of him masturbating more when you have more sex, simply because that's like, it's possible, and I don't want to put like a dark thought, but that he could be a sex addict. Which, I mean, if you sit down and talk about maybe get therapy, that's also something that could help. But, I mean, at the end, it's going to be a sit down, talk, figure it out, and, you know, maybe be willing to put out more just in case.
Yeah, I was going to kind of say maybe it could be an addiction. I mean, show of hands here, and maybe we're gonna open up a little bit on this show, because, of course, there's no barriers on this show.
There's no barriers in my pussy either.
He's got no anal walls. I jack off every day.
Sometimes every day. Multiple times a day.
Yeah. Okay, I kind of wanted to bring up this little thing here. So recently, and I hate to, you know how
you have yet to contribute how much you jerk in your gherkin.
All right. So for example, I masturbated three times in one day and then had a sexual partner.
Oh my God.
Oh, what is wrong with me?
Did your dick not fall off?
No. Produced in an adequate amount every time, you guys.
I'm sure liquid wise, but I'm sure you didn't have many swimmers,
right?
Yeah. Oh God, that's graphic. I'm sorry, everybody. So graphic.
Hey,
swim away.
Probably, yeah, once a day, and I usually incorporate poppers into my routine.
I think what I'm gonna do, because you know the boys, Anthony and Jordan, are drinking Grey Goose. The goose is loose. I am drinking tea because I'm trying to go on a detox and lose a little bit of weight. I think I might also give up masturbating for a little bit, just to see.
Oh,
celibacy.
Is it though?
Well, would you celibacy? Celibacy is considered not like no sex, right? Or is
no is orgasm?
Is masturbating sex?
I mean, I'm fucking my own hand.
Tune in next week on... No, I mean, okay, good for... I support it. I really do. But I think you might be a little crabby for a couple weeks.
I mean, I'm always fucking crabby. Let's be real. You boys see me all the time. I'm always a fucking bitch.
Well, then what about Sean Xavier?
Ooh.
I will have to...
That's a fun
put name. Away.
I'll have to shut everything down. Well, everything down. I will have to flip that out of order. Out of order. Closed. Out to lunch. Damn.
I want to see Sean Xavier and play with his Excalibur. Yes.
Have you seen it yet, Anthony?
Mm-mm.
We'll have to show you. It's pretty beautiful, actually.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Kind of scary at first. If you look at it.
But yeah, so four times. That's impressive. I mean, I would say if that was a regular
but
thing.
But that's a rare occurrence.
And you
that's
just
when,
had a lot of testosterone.
That's when no one's at home, girl, and I'm all by myself.
So glad to know that on the days off when you're home by yourself, there's fucking semen flying all over this apartment.
I'm all over. I'm on your bed. On the kitchen counter. I'm typically rubbing my ass on your pillowcase. Like
I'm masturbating right now.
I will jizz in your toothpaste.
Ooh.
And everyone
pearly whites.
30% of the world just heard me say that. So don't take that threat lightly.
You know what? I just realized, again, for the 14th time in a row, we forgot to introduce ourselves.
Oh my God.
I think they pretty much know us by now.
All right. Well, I mean, in case anyone was wondering, I'm Helen Keller's stunt double. I'm Justin.
I like to rub my ass on your pillowcase. I'm Jordan.
I'm pregnant. I'm Anthony.
Twins. Fuck it. John and Kate plus eight's got nothing on Anthony. They're coming out on one strand of Christmas lights or one umbilical cord like a strand of Christmas lights.
Yes, my little babies are coming to destroy you. I'm having 10 guys. 10. That's how you live a tax-free life. 10 babies. That's... You get a tax-exempt card. I am not kidding. Have 10 kids. Live tax-free. Do it today. Do it now.
Wow.
10 kids. Wow.
Wow.
It's Oprah.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey, girl. She said, you get a baby and you get a baby. Everybody gets babies.
Yes.
All right. Question numero dos.
That's two for the non-Spanish speaking countries.
Oh my God, Jordan, you speak Spanish.
AKA half of Middle America.
All right, boys. I'm kind of curious about this one, so I want to hear about your opinions too. All right, so the submitter says, will getting a significant other help me get over a childhood trauma? I dealt with an emotional child abuse situation growing up, and I think getting a girlfriend will help me overcome a lot of fears I have. Mm. But I'm afraid to do so. Mm. I need some help. Now, drama. I think that there is a prelude to a codependent relationship here.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yes. Anthony cosigns.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that a girlfriend is the right answer for this type of a situation. There might need to be some sort of... Now, again, I'm not a doctor. None of us are doctors. We have no sort of medical background in this.
Right.
But I think recommending some sort of a therapist first, someone
needed
that is non-romantically involved with you, would be a better suit than a girlfriend.
Agreed. You don't want to inadvertently take out your repressed frustrations on a new partner.
And I don't want to, again, I'm not a medical professional at all, but I think that there may be some sort of, if you mix like sex and some sort of post like traumatic stress issue, I feel like there could be exactly. And it may not be a good equation at all for this caller.
You could traumatize yourself more if anything.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know what this childhood trauma was. I personally grew up in a household where there was, emotional abuse and everything like that. And I know that that's something that I've been able to personally work on and get over. But if it's this serious that this person still is having this struggle, that's something you have to talk to somebody about. Because a significant other, and this piece of advice goes for absolutely every person listening, a significant other is not supposed to change your, create your life or define your life. Your significant other is supposed to complement your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You're supposed to be this strong character that can provide and protect and love, and they're supposed to do the same thing. But you can't rely on a partner to sculpt who you are. You need to find that internally and find out what image you want to broadcast to the world and the person you want to be, and then become that person, manifest that person, and then that image is what somebody will fall in love with.
A part of me feels like this may be some sort of emotional abuse trauma, because they're trying to, I think that they may be trying to find love.
Like they didn't get love and they're looking
get
for
love. And they're looking for love via a girlfriend.
And this may sound like a bandage, getting a girlfriend to help you overcome the fears that you have. But imagine if, worst case scenario, the relationship goes south.
Exactly.
Now you're reliving all of that and then some.
And we want to, you want to make sure you're being fair to your partner too, because if you bring her into this situation you're dealing with, how do you think that she's going to feel? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of pressure do you think you're putting on her shoulders? That's not fair to her as well.
I agree.
I would take a moment again and think about, is a girlfriend the right path for you, or should I seek more of a professional medical help?
Yeah, I was going to say therapy. Yeah. I mean, we're not doctors like Jordan said, but most definitely therapy. You know, take some time, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and to piggyback off of what Justin said, and like Mama Ru said, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Can I get an amen up here?
Amen. Yes. Mm.
Okay.
Yes, Oprah got in it too.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And my heart goes out for this person. You know, they didn't leave their sex, so I don't know if they're, or their gender rather, I don't know what they identify with, but you know, we're all struggling with something. Everybody has a skeleton in their closet, and we're all just trying to get through our life and find, you know, the pursuit of happiness. And I really hope that this person is listening, and I hope they have the ability to finally find the happiness that they want.
Me too.
Me three. Alrighty, guys. Question number three. What are your favorite gay movies?
I love this question. It's so broad.
Yeah. Because there's so many gay ones out
there's
there.
There's so many.
Yeah.
I'll definitely go first, because I would say my favorite gay movies, I have several. I absolutely love The Birdcage.
Oh, yes.
For it being from the 90s, it being a comedy, it is so defining of what the 90s were like. I absolutely love it. I also love Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything. Love, Julie Newmar.
Oh my God, that's my song.
Absolutely love it. And Jordan and I will blast that song.
Where is the body?
We will blast the intro song before going out. And then, and of course, the last time we played it, Jordan was dancing around in heels in the apartment, fucking wasted.
I'm wearing them right now.
And then finally, the last two movies are definitely Moonlight, because it was so defining of gay men of color.
Yes.
And there's another movie that's about the AIDS epidemic in New York City, and that is The movie's called And the Band Plays On. And it's about the AIDS epidemic. And every time I watch it, I always, like, I ugly cry every time I see it, because it was so real. It was going into, like, the New York City bathhouses, and where there was just casual gay sex. And these, you know, health researchers were noticing that this weird illness was happening and people were dying from it. So they started researching it, and they called it AIDS and HIV. And then they started you know, studying the virus, and it just explains so much to someone in my generation that lived after that, that remembered after that. So I think that's definitely a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boys, I just want to take a moment and I just want to shout out someone real quick. She passed away yesterday, and she was a huge, huge proponent in AIDS research. And I just wanted to take a moment and just say, Mathilde, if you are listening to this right now, Mathilde Krim, everybody. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of her before?
I have not.
Well, she was a woman who crusaded the AIDS research way back when it was first uprising. And she spent most of her life dedicated to finding treatments and whatever, but she passed away yesterday. So I just want to take a shout out to her, since you kind of mentioned
her life's
Justin.
Work.
Yeah, her life's work.
Put a dent in the universe.
We're thinking about her right now, obviously, because
thank you for
she's
your work.
A huge, huge activist for us. So, and on that note, I wanted to highlight mine. And have you guys seen The Normal Heart?
No.
It's on HBO right now. And it was it derived back in 2014, but it was based on a the 1985 era where Sergeant Matt Bomber, Taylor Christus, sorry if I butchered that, Mark Ruffalo, sorry.
A lot of famous people.
A lot of famous people, but it was basically the uprising of HIV/AIDS. And they showed scenes at Fire Island and all the...
Is this a documentary?
No. It's a movie. Okay. Julia Roberts played in it as a medical researcher as well. And it really impacted me, too, because it showcased the rise and fall of very successful men who were impacted by it as well.
Right.
And their whole life upon infection and their death. And there was one scene in that fucking movie where I quiver every time I think about it. But a mother had to identify her dead son's body via a garbage bag. Because they had no idea what the infection was, if it was airborne or not. So they sealed them all up. And she had to walk up to this garbage bag with her dead son in it. And... because he passed away from HIV. So it fucked me up beyond belief, but it was very moving. I think it's still found on HBO if anyone wants to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to highlight the new movie, Tom of Finland.
I heard that was so good.
Yeah. So a little bit of background of what Tom of Finland is, he is a Finnish war veteran, best known for his homoerotic depictions of the masculine male figures that you basically would see. It's those drawings of like those cops or police officers with huge hard-ons all over the place. He became internationally famous after being banned from Finland because of his art. So the film basically follows him from adolescence to his death in 91.
You know, that's impressive. The only thing I've ever achieved is getting kicked out of a Denny's, but to get kicked out of an entire fucking country,
yeah.
Hat tip to you, sir.
Yeah, he came to, he was in search, he got his colony, he got his tribe in Finland, but he was searching for, stardom, and basically he found it in the U.S.
He found it.
Found it here.
Awesome.
Before Trump.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I'm not going to go too much on this, but it's a cute romantic film. It is called The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. It's found on Netflix, and it's basically about a man who goes out and meets this other like gay guy, traveler, vagabond, as you will. And they just spend a cute little weekend getting high and fucking. Oh. You know, and he leaves. He goes nice. On his way. Yeah, so it's really cute, like one of those rainy weekends.
It's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com. But it's... It's based in the UK, so they have cute little cheeky accents.
Oh, cheeky. Aww. We love cheeky.
Mm-hmm. Tongue in cheek.
Tongue on cheeks.
Yes. I love quite a few gay movies, and I was going to say The Birdcage because it's freaking fabulous. I absolutely live.
And it's so quotable.
It is so good. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, Justin. So Birdcage for sure. There's a oldie. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's called Velvet Goldmine.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, I love it. It's very like coming out story, rock glam, and like how like his family is not really into it. And there's these rock stars that are glamorous that help him come out. It's actually, I like it. I like it a lot. And then there's Happy Together, which I saw a while ago with like an old friend of mine, and it's so cute because he's into like Asian movies and like Korean dramas and stuff. And it's Happy Together. It's a Hong Kong gay movie. It's not cute. It's kind of sad, and but it's fun and it's good to watch. And I think that it has some really good values in there, and it speaks a lot on abusive relationships, including in the in homosexual relationships as well. And I don't know if any of you guys remember Go Fish. It used to be on Netflix for a while. It's like a lesbian movie. It's pretty good.
Love it. Absolutely love it. A lot of good recommendations here to get you through the cold winter months.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're upon us.
They are.
I don't know how much
it's so bad. I know. It's so bad. But, you know, I had a friend reach out to me not that long ago, and she said, Justin, I really want to know how I can get more involved in the gay community. And my advice right back to her was, get educated, learn our history, learn our struggles, learn where we came from, and help us get to where we're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of these movies highlight so much. I mean, The Birdcage, which is a comedy, but also shows what it's like to, you know, try to hide your sexuality, to not offend those that are conservative. You know, so that I think Birdcage did that beautifully. Moonlight, what it's like to be closeted or DL and love another man and mm-hmm. fight that love and finally show that love to each other. You know, like there's just so many good movies here that we listed that's going to show you not only the struggle that the gay community went through for the AIDS epidemic, but when it comes to relationships and casual sex and the sexual, you know, drag queens and the sexual identity that you broadcast and just being very comfortable in your image. And I think this list is definitely something that everyone should check out on their free time, definitely.
And we'll post the list as well. Yeah. I think up on our page.
Yeah, we'll put it on our Facebook page. That way you guys can go over there and get a full list.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now is the time for us to deliver the tip.
Oh my.
Just the tip. So in this segment, Just the Tip, we give you guys tips on just random shit that we can think of, little life hacks, so to speak. Jordan, you had a very interesting one. Go ahead, take it away.
All right, so you know me and my stories. This past weekend, I had the... What was that?
Ice, sorry.
Oh, I think I need
I thought
some
he was popping
drink.
Pills.
I think I need to refill my drink. Waiter, come over here, please.
Oh, I'm on my way.
Oh. All right, so yes, I had the privilege this weekend of seeing an old friend. We went out to a couple bars here in New York City. Have you ever been to Le Bain here in Manhattan, any of you?
I definitely, well, Anthony is currently whipping you up another beverage, but perfect. I definitely have.
Yeah, Le Bain, for all of you out there, is this...
Bougie.
I think it's so overrated.
It's so overrated.
It's on top of the Standard Hotel here in Manhattan. Oh, fuck. He's literally pouring me a drink before my eyes. Oh, that's great. Thank you. And it's the top of the Standard Hotel in the Meatpacking District.
And naturally.
It has the prettiest fucking view of Manhattan, either uptown or downtown. You have the best view. Thank you so much. Gorgeous, isn't it? Yeah. And it's on my Facebook and Instagram if you guys want to check it out. But the tip is, let me get to the point here, is so at the coat check, they take your coat. I'm sure you guys have really, you know, expensive outerwear or whatnot, go have you. And they give you a ticket. Now, say, for example, you guys are partying, you have a great time, blah, 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 and you lose your ticket.
What they happens? Won't give it back.
They don't give you your coat back. They don't want you taking someone's coat. What do you do? So here's a little tip for you guys. Take a fucking picture of your ticket.
There you go.
That way, if you do lose your ticket, because you're going to get fucking wasted, you're going to get drunk, you're going to be a, you know, sloppy That's ass brilliant. Mess, and you're going to want to get your coat back, especially in January. So take a picture of your ticket stub. That way, when you walk up and you're walletless, you can still walk home warmer.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to coat check coats.
You don't.
Admittedly, and this is going to sound like really obnoxiously pathetic, but I've done it. I met up with a friend in the city to get barbecued ribs, and we ate a shit ton of barbecued ribs. And then we thought to ourselves, let's go get a drink. So we grabbed ribs to go. Walked to the bar, grabbed a drink, ran into some other friends that were like, oh, let's go clubbing. So we went to one of the clubs in Midtown. I forget the name of it. It's down the street from DBL. But they had a coat check there, and I tried to walk in, and I had a takeout box of ribs. And they were like, well, you can't take this in. And I said, well, I'm not throwing my fucking ribs out. So I coat checked the ribs. For $1. I looked at the guy and I said, listen, This is probably going to be the most random request you've ever had, but these are ribs, and I'm not giving them up. And he looked at me and started laughing. He goes, you want to coat check those? And I said, abso-fucking-lutely. I got my ticket. I did Jordan's little hint, took a picture of it so I would not lose my ribs, and got the ribs at the end of the night. So,
and when he left, he said, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
I mean, think about it. The most random fucking thing that you can submit to a coat check, bet you they didn't think ribs.
You were an industry, weren't you?
Is that the name of it?
I think so.
Probably. Yeah,
the coat check was in the front?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, I kind of want to extend my tip just a little bit further because it's typically...
a little deeper.
I know, my tip's already pretty deep, you guys.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, pressure further in.
Oh. Even Oprah's enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
So, while I was at the Standard... I'm going to caution you guys, listeners out there who want to, you know, take advantage of this party. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It's great. But their drinks are a little on the expensive side. We're averaging around $13. And that's pretty average for Midtown Manhattan drinks, upscale, whatnot. So I'm not sure if any of you have picked up on this either. But do you ever notice that you have more than one straw in your drink?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you ever want to know, like, why that is, or do you just not care? Because sometimes I never cared until recently.
I always thought they assumed I was clumsy and I was going to fucking lose one. So that's why I always thought I had two. They're like, oh, this man looks like he's a fucking mess, so we're going to give him a whole pack of straws.
I mean, that's valid because, you know, when I get a little tipsy, I play with my straws, too. But
I always thought they were just telling me, gulp, don't sip.
I mean, we already answered a question earlier in the show about what it's like to play with your straw multiple times a day, so.
Mm-hmm. But you were right, Anthony. They want you to gulp.
Interesting. Oh.
They want you to ingest more alcohol via the straws. If you think about it, if you have three little straws compared to one straw, you're drinking more.
You're chugging.
You're sucking a lot into your mouth.
Yes.
You're taking a lot of liquid in your mouth.
Oh, okay?
You're guzzling shots of vodka.
Wow.
So, yes, Oprah, to your point, wow. Like, reduce it to one straw. That's my tip. Take that 3-1. That way your $13 cocktail can last you an hour and a half versus 20 minutes.
Yes. Amen.
You know what I mean? So yes. You can... There's that frugalness. That. Thanks, Justin, for the frugality that you've instilled in me, because that really makes your $13 drink last.
And that's actually why they blast music at bars, too, because they know you'll be able to talk louder and scream at your friends. And when you talk louder, your mouth dries out faster, so you're more willing to drink more alcohol.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my. Yep.
And there you go, guys. Those are my tip plus.
So my tip, I'm only giving one tip.
Oh,
maybe a reach around. Ooh. My tip is when you're on the subway, don't lean on the fucking pole. There's only so many things that we can grab a hold of on the subway, literally. And some people take that too far and harass other people. But there's so many things you can grab on the subway as the train is going. Of them being like stripper poles going down the train car. And what happens is I see it almost every single day. A tourist is wrapping up against it like they're asking for ones, or they're leaning up against it like they can't stand. And a lot of us, we got to go. We need something to hold on. So pick your fucking head off the pole and hold it like a normal person. I admittedly had a lady that was like sleeping practically on the pole, and she had like long ass, like grunge style hair. And I had no place to hold it, so I grabbed the pole with her hair still attached.
I'm screaming.
I was saying, I hope they don't slam on the brakes because this shit's just ripping right out. But don't lean on the pole. And also, too, New York City is one giant fucking piece of shit cesspool. Everything
those
has
poles
a virus.
Are gross.
Yes. If I saw a kid licking one of those one day, and I said, well, get the funeral arrangements ready because that's it. That's it. Jesus says, I'm coming for you.
It was a good 3 years, kid.
And just, you're leaning on a pole that probably 4,000 people have touched prior to you. You even mentioned a while ago, Justin, that they found some rare bacteria from like the Amazon.
There's bacteria from all over the world.
don't lean your body on this. I know you get comfortable, guys, in New York City, but come on, please. Don't, your body does not need to be, you know, shoved up against a pole that other people could be using.
There's bacteria that develops here that didn't exist before. Rare. Okay.
So. New strains of bacteria.
And majority of it lives on Staten Island. but yeah, like, get off the pole. You know, make sure that we have the ability.
If you
want to
get off the pole.
Get off the pole on the train until you get to the strip club, then get on the pole.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's my tip.
That's a good tip.
The poles in the strip club spin for them. That's kind of fucking cheating. When I found that out, I was so disappointed.
They do? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Spin around.
Oh, I knew that.
That's so fucking cheap.
I didn't know that. I thought they were that
slippery.
Like, greasy. I thought they were that greasy.
Those greasy, greasy pussies just sliding around that pole.
So that's the name of our bar whenever we're like rich and famous off this podcast, the Greasy Pole.
Yes.
It serves fish and chips and strippers.
All right,
live for it.
All right, guys, I want to take a minute and introduce, you know, Anthony for this next tip, because it's a new little tip that I think we could all learn a thing or two from, us you know, bottoms out there, or you're practicing bottoms, whatever.
Oh my god,
I want you to take it away.
Oh my god,
we have some,
hang on, the suspense
for you.
The suspense is killing me.
Oh,
all over my face. Oh,
yes, I've made it. Hi, guys. I'm here to tell you how to keep your pussy nice and tight. Keep that buttocks nice and clenched. You want that hole nice, tight, and ripe when they come in.
So butt exercises. So,
butt exercises, ass-ercises, okay? Our ass-ercise for today is going to be Kegels. We briefly touched on Kegels in a previous episode, and I really want to stress their importance. Kegels keep that, not just your, it's not just about your ass, it's not just about squats, it's about keeping the hole tight, and Kegels will help you do that. It'll keep you tighter than any snatch out there, and that's what the boys want. They want a tight hole, so come on, give it to me. So in order to get a proper Kegel done, you want to squeeze the bottom of that pelvic wall. And to get to that feeling, think of cutting the stream mid-piss.
Oh my god.
Just right there.
Wow.
Or yeah. Or, and I'm sorry, again, I'm going to get graphic. I've said this one before, but you're pinching a turtle head. You know, you're just clenching that right there. I want you to hold that for about 5 seconds. I'm going to count with you. I'm going to clench in. We're going to go
one. I'm doing it right now with you.
I'm doing it too.
Yes, two.
I'm squeezing.
Three, four, five, and release.
Okay.
Oh, you kind of feel your buttocks release.
I only release so much because we don't want you to shit your pants. So, you know.
Yeah, don't get too lax now.
Yeah, you know someone at home is sitting there and all of a sudden they just. So, you don't want to release that much.
Oh man, your Kegels blew you the fuck out. No, but really, really get those Kegels in there. Keep that hole nice and tight. Keep your buns nice and tight. Make sure that you're doing squats. And if you're doing any type of workouts, and that includes like hip abductions or hip adductions, like anything like that, back extensions, leg extensions, make sure you're stretching. You want to be bendy and flexible. Your hole's already tight. Why not bend over and show it to the world?
And another great thing about Kegels is it actually will make your orgasm more powerful because it's exercising that muscle too. So when you do your Kegels, you're getting benefits in the front and the back as well.
And can I just say that to that point, if you like to shoot men, this is how you shoot.
Am I shooting somebody? Like what?
Like, you know, some guys want to squirt out their cum and, like, shoot it across the fucking room.
Oh, that's, oh my God. You meant something else.
It sounded like an intro to a fucking, like, criminal TV show.
I know.
Like Law and Order.
SVU.
Now, Anthony, as a practicing Kegler, how often do you recommend doing this?
I Kegel all the time, honey.
He's been Kegeling this whole show.
The whole episode. I Kegel at work. Yes?
Do you recommend, does Kegeling work for standing?
Or do yes. You have to be sitting? God. Okay. No. Now, I will say, when you're sitting, what I love about sitting is you can feel like the gluteus, like the cheeks as well, they kind of lift with it. Ooh, I'm feeling it now.
I felt it lift.
Yeah. Yep. And then when you release, you kind of feel it like you feel the workout that you're doing. But right. You can definitely do it while you're standing as well. Most definitely. Sometimes, you know, I work in a place where I stand a lot and I'll be standing there having a conversation with someone. They don't know I'm fucking doing Kegels, but I'm squeezing my asshole shut right now. It's fabulous. And it keeps it nice and tight.
Yep. Gotcha. One Kegel, two Kegel, red Kegel, blue Kegel. Kegel on a train, Kegel on a plane.
Now, do you recommend setting
Kegels in ham.
A reminder? A reminder for people.
So if you're going to do, see, here's Christ. My thing. Go big or go home. Okay. If you're going to do a reminder for fucking Kegels.
Do it in the morning.
Don't do it in the morning. No, well, no, not just in the morning. Don't do like a reminder like every day. Do a reminder like every 3 fucking hours because there's no need to not be doing Kegels.
Right.
There's no, it's not taking away from anything that you're doing in life. Really? Just Kegel your whole day until your sphincter fucking falls out. Like, well, don't do that. But Kegel, do it. Take care. Like, you're not, it's not costing you anything. Sit, Kegel. Stand, Kegel. You're at fucking lunch, Kegel. Kegel while you eat. You're doing a workout while you're eating. Just get it.
Kegel. Coming out on Stop Tase Around.
Coming out on DVD. Anthony, Kegel while you eat. Oh, Christ.
Oh, shit.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Well, that are about
you,
wraps it
are you
up,
doing
guys.
It? Are you doing it? Because
you just took it.
You just running with it.
All right, boys. I think that wraps up what now? I'm losing track. Was that 14?
I don't know why 14? You're losing track. It's in the script. It says 14.
It literally says 14
you better,
in the script.
Oh, that was off script. That was unscripted. Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Off the record.
All right, boys. That about wraps up our 14th episode of Ask the Boys. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting service so you can download us every time we release it. Trust me, you'll want to stash in your pants pocket everywhere you go. Mm. Also, go ahead and follow us on our Facebook page. Justin, why don't you go and share that?
That is facebook.com/AskTheBoysShow.
And now we're on Instagram, hey, at Ask the Boys Podcast. And Anthony, what's our Twitter?
Our Twitter is at Ask the Boys. Come on good. And ask us.
Yes. Okay, until next week, I'm Jordan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Anthony.
Have a great fucking night, y'all.
Want to be on the show? Call us at 424-327-5282. That's 4243 ASK ATP.